A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you about how all of the baptized participate in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And we talked about how that meant offering of your life, a gift, a sacrifice pleasing to God in all that you do, whether it's in work or leisure or relationships or in whatever dimension of life. And we also spoke about how participating in the priesthood of Christ means being some sort of a mediator, being a bridge builder between those who are separated, to bring together the Lord and those who don't know him yet, or to bring together the hope of the Lord with those who are in despair, bring the healing of the Lord to those who are hurting. Today I'd like to expand a little bit on that notion of all of the faithful as mediators, as sharers in the priesthood of Christ. And today I hope that you might begin to explore maybe a new way of thinking about the Christian life. Sounds radical, I know. It all starts back in the book of Genesis. You remember that God created the world and everything in it, and he saw that it was good. Sin had not yet entered the picture. Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the garden. It was paradise. It was heaven on earth. There was nothing wrong. There was no pain. There was no suffering. There was no illness. There was nothing going wrong at all. And so the very fact that God created the world this way gives us some idea of what God really wanted. This was his intention, that we should experience paradise, that we should experience the fullness of life and joy, even on earth. But then sin entered the picture, and there came to be a separation, a division. No longer was earth just this ideal place to live. There was this distance between God and his creation. And so, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son into the world to start repairing that breach that had been put into effect. God sent Jesus into the world to reconcile heaven and earth. Now, when we think of our usual ways of considering the Christian life and eternity, perhaps we look at it in terms of sort of being set free from this life of pain and suffering. So many people are dealing with tremendous burdens of illness, despair and discouragement, and all kinds of terrible things. And they can't help but think, I just can't wait to be free from this life, freed from this prison almost, and enter into the joy of eternal life. And sometimes we think of heaven and earth in terms of this stark dichotomy, that they are so separate, and that our goal as Christians is to somehow make this leap from the world that we live in into this disembodied life in heaven, just this spiritual life. But if we look a little bit more closely at the scriptures and at what God's chosen people have believed throughout the ages, we see that this isn't really the way that we ought to believe. We shouldn't go through this life just waiting to sort of shed the physical skin and go in a spiritual way into heaven. Look at how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say, pray like this, Lord, free me from this body, free me from this earth, free me from the prison of all this pain and suffering so that I can leave this world behind and go and be with you. That's not how he taught his disciples to pray. He taught them to pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So instead of keeping this stark division between heaven and earth, Jesus says that earth and heaven are supposed to come together. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to reconcile this world that we live in with the kingdom of God. So when we pray that the kingdom of God should come here in our midst, that our life here, in some sense, should be like the kingdom of God in heaven, what we're saying is we want God to reign supreme here in our midst as he does in heaven. We want God to be adored and worshiped perfectly here in our midst as he is adored and worshiped in heaven. As there is such peace and joy and unity in heaven, so we pray that that will be even here on earth while we live. While we live. We're not just talking about the end of times when we hope that everything will be put back into place. And that's where you and I come in. That's where you and I come in. Because as Jesus ascended into heaven bodily and spiritually, notice he didn't just leave his body there on the Mount of Olives and go up in spirit into the heavens. He went body and soul into heaven. And he promised that his spirit would come down. So we have this ascending and descending motion. So in light of all of that, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are in a sense bearers of that meeting place of heaven and earth. We bring the meeting of heaven and earth into the world. That's a very profound reality when you think about it. Now, you'll remember a couple of weeks ago I said that Mass is the place where the faithful come to receive their training or their formation, so to speak, to go out and exercise the priesthood of Christ in the world. And so we further understand then today that this is the meeting place of heaven and earth. Here, in our midst, at this altar, heaven and earth come together because Jesus himself is made present once again. And not only is he made present, but then we receive him into our body and soul. And we are then transformed to become more Christ-like. And if we are more Christ-like, then we are more and more truly the meeting place of heaven and earth. Look at Jesus in his ministry. He went out forgiving people, healing, casting out demons, bringing peace, teaching, doing all of these things that gave us an inkling of what his greater project was, the reconciliation of heaven and earth. And so as he is ascending into heaven, and then the Spirit is coming down, we see that it's really starting to happen. Now we might think, well, we don't have the gift of casting out spirits or raising the dead or healing people just by, you know, saying a word to them. But you know, we still do participate in the very ministry of Jesus Christ. Think about the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Some of you may have memorized those many, many years ago. Things like visiting the homebound, caring for the sick, visiting those who are lonely, helping the poor, comforting those who mourn, teaching those who don't know Christ, you know, giving counsel to those who are lost. All of these different ways and more, we are participants in that ministry. And if you think about it, when you go and visit the sick, when you care for those who are suffering, isn't that a meeting place of heaven and earth? Because in the comfort that you extend to them, in your words of encouragement, they get a little glimpse of what it is like to experience God's love in a deeper way, and his mercy, and his healing. So I guess maybe the question is, how eager are we to participate in this work of bringing heaven and earth together? It's all too easy to sit back and say, I'll leave it to someone else. I'll leave it to those whose work is to visit the homebound, or to care for those who are in nursing homes and such. Leave it to the doctors to take care of the sick. Leave it to the missionaries to teach people. But no, that's not our calling, to sit back and watch while someone else does it. Notice the men dressed in white say to the disciples, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. In other words, don't just stand around gawking at the sky. Go. Go and do. Do what Jesus did. Teach, admonish, heal, encourage, comfort, advise. Do all of these things that Jesus did. Then, not only will we come to a deeper experience of Christian discipleship, but we'll be participating for the benefit of the world in that primary ministry of Jesus of restoring and reconciling heaven and earth.